May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from Luke chapter 3, especially verse 16. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear Saints, last week we considered God's coming to us in the flesh. And this week we want to think about God coming to us more personally in our baptisms. To get us started, I want to ask you a question. How do you know that you are saved? Where do you go for assurance of your salvation? How do you know that God loves you? Loves you personally. How do you know that you are saved? It's a question people wonder about. As Christians who know the Bible, at least we should, we know that God tells us that by grace you have been saved through faith. We know that this faith that we have been given has an object, that it clings to Christ and what he has done for us. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And so, we may take this a step further and use a particular kind of logical reasoning in our heads to convince ourselves that we are indeed saved. Now, what I'm going to present to you is a simple logical sequence. It's called a syllogism. It's just a way of reasoning through a question. It has three parts. The major premise, so some fact that we take to be true. A minor premise, another fact that we take to be true. And then a conclusion. See if this describes your thinking. The major premise, whoever believes in Christ is saved. Minor premise, I believe in Christ. Conclusion, I am saved. Let me repeat that. Major premise. Whoever believes in Christ is saved. Minor premise, I believe in Christ. Conclusion, I am saved. Seems to make sense, right? It's logical. It's biblical. It's easy to understand. But there is a problem. Where does such thinking place our focus? Where do we look for assurance of salvation, of our being accepted by God, if this is the only logic we use? Thinking of salvation in this way causes us to look inside at ourselves. It causes us to attempt to measure the level of our own faith. How do I know I'm saved? I have faith. I have faith. Faith is indeed necessary. It is God's gift to you, but it is not the principal cause of your salvation. It simply is the means through which you cling to salvation, through which you cling to Christ. In the New Testament, Jesus is constantly telling his disciples what little faith they have. They don't even have faith the size of a mustard seed. And so what can happen when you go inside? When you peer into your own heart to see how much faith is really in there? Oh, you may find some. There's undoubtedly faith there, but it is mixed up with all kinds of other things. The sinful nature clings to us, the lies, the grudges, the envy, the jealousies, the anger, the hatred, the offenses given, the offenses taken. Doubt, despair, anguish, anxiety. Sometimes when we look, it's hard to find the faith in there. And so if you look inside yourselves and only there to see what is your standing before God, watch out. You may not always like what you see. Which brings us to John, the one crying in the wilderness. John with his baptism of repentance, his crazy clothes and strange diet, John who calls the people to repent, to receive a baptism of repentance. John teaching the people to be content with what they have, to live in the vocations in which God has placed them, pointing them to the Lord, the one who was coming, the Messiah. But John's baptism is not the final one. He is not the Christ. John's baptism of repentance is not the same as the baptism that you and I received. For one greater than John was coming, one whose sandals John was not even worthy to untie, one whose sandals you and I aren't worthy to untie either. This one, John says, would come with a baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. So how is Jesus' baptism, the one that you received, different from John's? First, consider that the people were going out to John. They had to sort of find him. They had to find this crazy prophet out in the wilderness baptizing. Their hearts were led to repentance, and they were baptized. But consider the silver and the gold, as mentioned by the prophet Malachi. The silver and the gold, they don't search out the refiner. The gold doesn't say to the refiner, "There is chaff in me here and here. Please purify me with your fire." No, the fire finds the chaff in the gold, in the silver. The refiner brings in the gold and the silver and refines it with the fire. As we heard in our Old Testament reading, the Lord will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And so it is with your baptism. God found you. God baptized you. God purifies you from the chaff of your sin. The fire of God's wrath that was poured out upon Jesus on the cross is poured over you in the water of your baptism. But the fire doesn't harm you. God refines you. He makes you holy, set apart for him and for his kingdom. The Holy Spirit, which God poured out upon God's people at Pentecost, appearing as tongues of fire, poured over you in your baptism. The Lord does this. Baptism is his work for you. And so, where does faith stand in relation to baptism? In the book of Acts, Luke reports that some people came to faith before they were baptized, and some came to faith at their baptism. Baptism and faith go together. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, says Jesus. And because baptism is God's work, because baptism gives faith, because it gives you the Holy Spirit, we can then take baptism as a promise made to us individually that God is at work in our lives through the water and through the word. A promise that was made personally to you, personally given to you. Therefore, we can make the following logical argument to ourselves. Major premise, Christ told me, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Minor premise, Christ never lies, but only tells the truth. Conclusion, I am baptized. I am saved. I have new life in Christ. Or consider an even simpler formula, major premise, the Lord says baptism now saves you. Minor premise, God baptized me. Conclusion, I am saved. Do you see the difference between the logical reasoning I provided earlier and this one? This way of understanding our position before God causes us not to look inside of ourselves, not to reflect on our own faith or lack of it, but to focus on something outside of ourselves, something God did on the cross in Christ, and something God gave to you personally. God has baptized you. God has connected you to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in your baptism. Jesus' death on the cross, destroying sin, becomes your death to sin. God has given you his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit dwells in you as a temple. God has marked you with his sign. He has called you by name. God comes in baptism. God's love has found you. He has baptized you. Luther says about baptism in his large catechism, quote, "If I am baptized, I have the promise that I shall be saved and have eternal life, both in soul and body. No greater jewel can adorn our body and soul than baptism. Baptism is a treasure which God gives us and faith grasps, just as the Lord Christ upon the cross is not a human work, but a treasure comprehended and offered to us in the Word and received by faith. When the devil tempts us, when doubts come upon us, when our faith seems weak, then, as Luther writes, pull out your baptism, wave it under the devil's nose, and say, I am baptized. I have God's bath. It is Christ's own blood. It is a bath blessed and mixed with the blood of Christ." End quote. You and I can never go back to Calvary because we weren't there the first time. But we can turn to the here and now reality of our baptisms, God's work in our lives, for that is where God came to us, where Christ's blood was applied to us, where we were buried and raised to new life. As St. John writes, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood." Jesus, who came that first Christmas, who came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, who went to the cross shedding his blood, who rose from the dead, who ascended, and who is coming again in glory, comes to you in your baptism and makes you his own. Rejoice in these promises of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.